Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel. Joining me in studio, Ken the Carpenter Wagner. How the heck are you, Ken?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm not bad. So I was introduced to you by our mutual friend, Gigi Belser, who, you know, I asked people, well, who do you go to? And she says, well, I got a colleague named Ken. I talked to Ken. I said, well, what's Ken's story? And she says, well, Ken, he's a guy who works in construction, and he, was near a lightning strike, and after that, it sort of changed things for him. And so, I want you to tell that story. That this wasn't your healing was never your, occupation.
No, it was drinking.
Drinking, okay. Well, there you go. Drinking and construction. Yeah, you said you were about a 15 beer a day kind of guy.
Yeah, in that vicinity.
Okay. Yeah. So what happened? A little lightning rattled your cage and poof.
Yeah. A friend of mine, we were doing a roof and noticed a storm was coming in. And we decided to kind of speed it up a little bit. I told him to get off the roof once we had the tarp down. Mm-hmm. I was pulling it a little bit tighter and put the last nail in it, stood up, and a lightning bolt hit the transformer across the alley.
Oof.
That was the beginning.
Kind of knocked you down, didn't it?
Oh, it picked me up and dropped me.
Okay, so you're up, you're down, your entire physical body, spiritual body, emotional body, etheric body, boom. Control-Alt-Delete, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
And so was it like you just woke up the next day and had superpowers, or was it a slower journey for you? Talk us through that.
It was a slower journey. For 2 years after that, I kept hearing his voice in my head saying, Northwest New Mexico, and I'm just like...
Yeah. Was it like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was kind of irritating.
It's like Charles, Northwest! Who was it?
It was just like Northwest New Mexico.
Okay.
I'm like, what's this? What's it? I kept hearing it. And then finally I said, I'm going out there. And I didn't know where I was going to go. I actually stopped off in Denver, had some business there, and then I decided, well, since I'm here, I'm going to shoot out there and rented a car and went out to Northwest New Mexico. Had no idea where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
So,
had you heard about some healers out there, or you just sort of knew Northwest New Mexico and you went to a map and just pointed your finger, or what? Just drove?
I just went to Farmington.
Okay.
And I got there, and then I was wondering where the reservation was and got pointed in that direction and went out there and had no idea. I was driving into Shiprock. And I was passing a church, and I had a strong urge to go in there, but I said, I'll just keep going. Got in the middle of the town there, and there's a gas station, and I asked somebody about something to drink, and, I'm like, well, I'm here, and I don't know why. And he goes, you need to go see a medicine man. So I said,
got a guy?
Yeah. He goes, go across the street and behind the 7211, and you'll go down the road there, and there's a medicine man at the end of the street. So I went down there, and this elderly lady came out. She was really sweet. She goes, he's not here right now. He's in a hospital. So I wasn't sure if he was working on somebody.
I was going to say, if the medicine man is in the hospital, that's probably not a good sign, unless he's working on somebody.
Yeah.
Then it is.
Okay, fine. So I was leaving, and when I was driving out of town, the church that I saw when I first came in, the car had a mind of its own. It turned right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to go in here. So I went walking in there, and all these natives, they look up at me, and I could almost feel them saying, oh, God, a white guy.
Right, right.
I can't blame them. So I told them what was going on. I said, listen, I came out here. I have no idea what I'm doing here. And they pointed me into a different direction to a different medicine man. And then I went over. I actually had a daughter. I followed her out there, and she dropped me off at the doorstep there. And it was getting kind of late. So I knocked on the door, and the lady, he's not here. You come back tomorrow.
And you're like, do you know how far I came to get here? Nope. Okay.
So then I went. It was the night of the NCAA final, so I figured I'd go watch some basketball. So I went back into Farmington, and I sat down at the bar, had a small beer, and went back to my motel room. Next morning, I showed up at the front door, and I was knocking on the door, and she goes, he's in the Hogan. And I'm just, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, that building in the back there. I go, oh, okay. So I went
and that's where the healings take place, the Hogan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went back there, but he was already with somebody. So I just sat in the car, was enjoying the view, and a lady comes out after that, after he was done with her, and
calls you in.
calls me in. She was knocking on the window because I was kind of passed out. So,
Too many beers the night before or just tired?
Just tired.
Okay.
And then I was walking up towards the medicine man, and he just like looked at me. He goes, I've been waiting for you. And I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, I was like, this is kind of freaky. I've never been involved with anything like this before. So he just looked at me. He said, you're sick, huh? I said, oh, they said something's going on. He goes, come on. You know, so he sat me down, and he did a prayer holding a crystal. And then he started looking through the crystal. I could see him, like, scanning my body. I could feel it, actually.
Mm.
And then he goes, you're close to lightning strike, huh? And I go, yeah. He goes, that energy's still in your body. Would you like me to get it out? And I go, I guess that's why I'm here. So he took a couple crystals and ran them up on one on each side of my spine, and then this bulb appeared. And then he sucked
like
it.
A mass.
Yeah.
Like it looked like a big hive or a zit or something, right?
Right. And he sucked it out. And
now explain that for a second. Like he energetically sucked it out, or he physically pierced it, you and
no,
came out?
There's a little tube that they have. It's like a straw, wooden straw. And he just put it on and sucked that. And the thing went down and he spit it out.
And you saw it. It was gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
So that was all the trauma that was in your body that supposedly, energetically, these crystals brought to the surface, like lancing a wound, and got out of you.
Right.
Okay.
And then...
did you feel better?
Oh, yeah. It felt like cool rainwater hitting my back.
Mm.
And then he asked me how my vision was, and I said, well, it's kind of fuzzy right now. He goes, that's good. You'll be fine. Then he started explaining to me about my life. He knew everything about me. It was unbelievable.
Like trauma from what happened through lifetime to current day, or everything in relationships and the whole deal?
He was explaining what was going on in my life at that time.
Oh, okay. So he's very good about the current state of affairs.
And he also said that there was a past life that I had on that reservation also.
Which is why you wound up on that reservation.
Right.
So now here's a guy, your construction guy, you know, 15 beers a day. Now you've got the trauma of this lightning strike out of your body, but you're thinking, okay, maybe there's something more to all of this, because this is not your typical afternoon. Do you think right then, I got to go into this world, or was it still a struggle for you?
Not really. I mean, after he did that, and he wanted me to actually stay there for a bit, and I said, I can't because I'm married and I got a business to run and that. And he goes, well, if you're going to stay, you go to Shiprock. And you stand there and you see what happens. And so I went out there, and a part of me that I didn't even know was in me came out. You know, I was like holding these big boulders and stuff, and I'm like, this is weird. And then I could see, actually, I seen spirits walking around that. They're all like looking at me, moving back and forth. And
so your vision literally became superpower vision.
I don't know if it's superpower. Maybe he did.
Well, I mean, they're layman's terms. Somebody would say, you know, you became clear. I'd say clairvoyant, right? For those, you could see then different energy streams. You could see spirits, like you say. Not everybody can see these things, and now you can.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And had that been going on since the lightning strike, or just since he cleared out the trauma from you?
After he cleared the trauma.
Wow. So you knew something was going on, and were you then following your intuition home, or were you just feeling like things weren't a fit and you needed to start working with these gifts, but you didn't know how?
Things were changing. I started getting to different types of energy work. I've done Reiki and stuff called Joe Ray and a few other things. And
Joe Ray is from Japan in the 30s, a similar kind of energetic stream, like a god light. There's a symbol. It's a healing of ancestral lines. For those who haven't heard of it, it's spelled J-O-H-R-E-I. Correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And so you practice these different modalities, kind of getting your toolbox full of stuff.
Right.
Doing a little healing for people on the side. Like you could meet somebody, I've seen you do it, and you're like, oh, when you were 7, you fell off your bike and hurt your neck. And it's like, huh? But you can see those kinds of things.
Yeah, I feel actually more.
You
than
feel
I,
it?
Yeah, I feel it more.
Okay. And so then what do you do to help people through those things?
I go in there down to the quantum level and start clearing the energies. It could be physical, mental, emotional, or psychological stuff.
Okay. So in the work now that you do, because we've got an event at Sauter World Wellness on May 4th, you've been doing sort of, I call them the spiritual social club, but spiritual salons where you're working on people from everything from emotional trauma to physical trauma to maybe unknown spiritual trauma. What are some of the patterns you find in people that they don't even know they have? You know, they come to you and it's like, wait, whoa, I didn't even realize that was happening.
Well, it's more like a lot of stuff that I've been picking up lately is more connected to the relatives.
Mm.
And then once I clear the relatives, I won't even work on them. I'll clear the relatives and they start feeling better.
Dead or alive.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility that our ancestors that have passed away might be stuck from raising up to their next level because of their behavior patterns that they've passed on to us.
Correct. And we're supposed to help them out. That's why there's people like me and others out there that mm-hmm. actually work on them, and then they're free to go.
So forgiveness is huge here, and I want everybody who's out there listening to this to grasp this. Forgiveness is not condoning the terrible behavior. Forgiveness is letting go of your anger about that behavior. And so many people are stuck. And, you know, a previous conversation I was having with Gigi Belser about the people wanting to hold on to their hate instead of embracing the love. If people worry that if they forgive, it's making them soft or making them condone the terrible behavior. But if they don't forgive, they get completely stuck. And you've worked on me on some things, and you look at me and you say, are you ready to let this go? And I'll say, yes. And you go, are you sure? It's like, I'm saying, yes, but maybe part of me is not. My subconscious is not. You know, there's something holding us into these patterns. Why is it so hard for us to forgive and let it go?
Well, it's really got to come from your heart. Mm-hmm. You got to dig in and just let it go. And a lot of people just say it. They have to mean it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Also, too, you have worked on a home. I've seen you try to clear spaces. So this is really important if you're out there and, you know, you get a certain feeling and energy in certain spaces. I know that when I went to a place that was incredibly haunted with a lot of history, I came home. My dog wouldn't come near me. You know, I call you guys, Ken and Gigi, my tag team, you know, hey, what's going on? And it's like, oh, geez, you brought something back. There's an energetic attachment. Supposedly a ghost basically followed me home. This happens. You see this happen all the time.
Yeah.
And if people out there are listening and their dog is freaking out about some stuff, there could be some activity going on in the home that, you know, the owner of the home has no idea is happening.
That's true.
From people who have died and owned it before, or from the current owners bringing back people with them, right?
Right. In my house that I'm in, my father was raised there, and mm-hmm. my brothers and sister and myself. My grandfather seen show up one time, which was rather interesting to me. You know, I was just like, I was 6 months old when he passed away, and then he seen him, and it was kind of freaky, but it was kind of cool that I actually got to see him.
What did he say? Hey, bud, I love what you're doing to the place.
He just wanted me to let me know that he was around watching, mm-hmm. and also it was kind of neat.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, we went to this one house that wasn't selling, or, you know, it's having some issues, and you could walk through the house and you could see where there was some energy stuck, where there was, you know, some ghosts stuck, you know, vortexes, portals, you name it. What are some of the things that you've seen in spaces that are preventing them from either selling or people moving on or people getting happy moving in?
There's the portals and vortexes like that are a problem.
Explain what each is for those who don't know.
It's just an opening where heavy energies, different type energies come in. And
a vortex is where they kind of circle, right?
And
a porthole is where they can come and go.
Come and go, right.
Okay.
So
both of them very inconvenient if you're trying to sell a house.
Right.
Okay.
And even actually it affects people too.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone I was working on today that they had some stuff coming out of a porthole. And they didn't realize it. So
what happened? You go. So I'm downstairs with the realtor. She's holding her Starbucks, like just another day, while you know Ken's closing portholes or something upstairs. And you're walking through and you're doing it. And we could all of a sudden we felt this shift. It was like a whoosh. And she looked at me. She goes, "Oh my gosh, it feels like someone just opened a window." You know, and you hadn't even really opened a window yet. You just closed a porthole.
Yeah.
apparently.
Well, remember, too, that person that was sleeping in that room was having a lot of problems, too.
So people can be having trouble if this is going on in their home and they don't even know what's going on.
Right.
And they don't know why they're having trouble.
Right.
Got it. In your experience now, I mean, looking back on your journey, do you wish you hadn't been near a lightning strike?
I don't know. Life is kind of boring.
Before.
It was like, same old, this is a little different.
I'd say so. Never the same day twice, right?
Right.
Well, do you feel like you have sort of a responsibility to do something with it? Are there some people that say, hey, the guy was just struck by lightning, he probably rattled some things in his brain, and he's just hallucinating. Do you get that ever?
I really don't care.
Exactly.
It's my ride, you know.
Yeah, right.
If you want to try something, go stand outside with a pole, and lightning mm-hmm. might hit you, too, and then you'll get some experience, too.
Well, now you told me.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right. You told me your dad was also struck by lightning.
Yeah, my dad got blown off a tractor when he was up in Wisconsin.
I mean, what? How many times has this happened in your family? Is this a thing?
I don't know. I just tell my son to stay in from storms.
Yeah. No, but truly, is that something that you think could be an energetic pattern in your lineage, in your ancestors?
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Okay. So what can listeners do to sort of help clear their space? What do you recommend that they do to help clear their energetic space and their physical space?
I would definitely get some sage.
So just the old-fashioned white sage?
Yeah.
Smells like pot, light it up, and what? You got to crack a window? What's your belief system on that?
Yeah, I would crack a window so whatever's in there is going to leave. You don't want it to stick around.
Okay, so and you call in light and love and vibrations and all those good things, whatever makes you happy as you say it and chant it.
Right.
Okay, and clearing the space with the intention of clearing the space.
Correct.
Because what does that do? I mean, I know the Native Americans believe that energetically it just diffuses all negative energy. Is that pretty much what happens?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't like the smell either, so they just like, gotta go.
So if somebody you know that doesn't like the smell of sage, could they have some dark energies on them?
Definitely.
Ooh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. My niece was like that, and her father kind of cornered her once, and mm-hmm. he cleared her out with some sage. So
sage can be a powerful tool.
Yeah.
How often do you have to use it?
Depends on where you're at. You know, maybe once a week, maybe once a month.
Okay, and then if you don't have sage, can you clear it without it just by thinking it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to be a little more advanced.
I think you got to be a little more advanced at that. But,
okay. Like a newbie can't just, you know, lock it out, 1, 2, 3, 4, all you ghosts go out the door, which is something you say. Or does that have
it? That might have a little bit of effect. It depends on where it's coming from. And some people think it's a joke, but mm-hmm. if they kind of get into it a little bit, they'll be able to do that. Just remember, 1, 2, 3, 4, all you spooks go out the door.
You say all you ghosts go out the door. Yeah. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Because some people get spooked by their dog gets spooked by something. You know, you don't even know what's going on, their cat. But you have to give it some sort of... I see, this is where people get stuck. I have a friend who just did a workshop with a gentleman who teaches at the Arthur Findlay over in the UK. And this is, you know, a school for mediumship and psychic development. And they don't believe in any of this, that they don't believe in attachments and dark energies. They think it's all kind of, you know, if there is something, it could be outer worldly, but they don't believe in trapped spirits or energy attachments or any of that because they think that it's all coming from our fears. So I had a little discussion, I would say a heated discussion, because I completely disagree with that. I've experienced it myself where I've seen, not like you, I don't have that kind of clairvoyance, but I had a really creepy feeling. I saw kind of a mist next to the bed, found out this place had a lot of hauntings, and then had it confirmed that it had been very active with some negative energy. So I've experienced it myself, so I know that it exists. But how can we not get too caught up in the fear of it? Doesn't the fear make it grow?
I never really gave it much thought. It is what it is. If it's there, it's there, you know, so...
So for you, it's like watching, you know, I would say a sporting event you really don't care about, like soccer.
Yeah.
It's about as excited as you get about it.
I was in Canada with one of my friends, and we're looking down this hall, this old building, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, see all that down there? He goes, yeah, it's like fog. What is it? I go, man, there's a bunch of ghosts down there.
Oh, my goodness.
And he goes, well, let's not go down there.
Well, so that, interestingly, you know, how do you have to clear every space when you go into it? I mean, do you feel a responsibility to do that when you go visit places and you see dark energies? Do they want your help? Do they need to get to the light? Is that what you're facilitating?
Well,
sometimes.
I really don't try to. If I see something there and I can avoid it, I just stay away from it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, unless it starts coming at me, then I'll do something. But I just don't want to mess with it.
You just want to leave it be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody else deal with it.
But what if they're coming to you and they need help? Has that ever happened?
Not that I know of.
Okay. But like sometimes you're working on somebody and you see that they've brought an attachment with them, and maybe they need to go. You know, maybe they're stuck. Do you help them get unstuck?
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay. You'll do that.
Even animals react to people that come in and they're carrying different types of energies.
Okay. Yeah. And also to physical pain. Sometimes someone can have a chronic physical pain and they don't realize it, but it could be a stuck energy.
Right.
And you see that a lot in your work.
Yeah, right.
How does that show up for you? It's something you just feel in your body physically, or you see it, or both?
I just feel it.
Okay. Yeah. Like you freaked my friend out who had, you know, a foot injury. She walked in and she wasn't even limping or anything. And you just said, oh, yeah, your left foot, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, hot damn. You know, you pulled that. But sometimes things keep coming back. They're chronic. So why do some people not heal?
There are different levels. And plus, sometimes spirit wants them to go through that experience.
So karmically, they might have inflicted that kind of pain on someone, something, or many things, and they need to feel it.
Or they need to go through a lesson.
Ah. So we've all been everything. Saints, sinners, rich, poor.
Yeah.
Many times before. That's your belief. You believe that we've had many rides in the rodeo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what can we do to clear up any karma? Like, is there anything that we can do?
Well, I energetically go in there and start working on it, and sometimes it'll work and sometimes it's not, because like I said, the spirit wants you to go through that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go in there. I mean, I worked on a kid this morning, and part of the issue with him was that he wasn't getting enough attention from his father.
Mm.
And so it didn't want to, not until that was resolved between him and his father, will it be released.
Got it. So you work on children.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of anxiety that children are feeling right now, a lot of it is because of energies that are, or anxiety could be attachments. It could be all of these things.
Yeah, actually, after that eclipse we had, it seems like a lot of energy has been changing.
So you believe that the stars and the moon can have an impact on what we do energetically?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Is there some truth to the full moon action?
I believe so.
And the new moon action? So what would we do differently during a new moon, and what would we do differently during a full moon?
I really don't pay too much attention to it, yeah. But I know I can feel the energies change.
You can?
Yeah. I used to, like on a full moon, I used to put crystals in water and just set them outside.
Mm.
And then I would drink that water.
Really?
Yeah.
Charged up? You feel like it's good charged up? All right, well, let's talk about your container. So you stop drinking and you're eating healthy. Like, you really think that is probably helpful to the work that you do. To be a healer, you have to have a container. Like you say, you're drinking water that you left out with the crystal and the full moon. There is something that's going to help your vibration to help others, isn't there?
Yeah.
So for anybody out there who's overdoing anything, whether it's sugar, whether it's booze, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, you're lowering your vibration.
Right.
Yeah.
And too much is too much, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much of a good thing is not really that good.
Right. And you probably see this a lot in your work where people are, you know, one time I said to you, I go, gosh, Ken, I used to be able to down 3 glasses of wine with no problem. I had 1 glass and a splitting headache. I don't know what's going on. And you said, well, I think you need to go through this lesson, Jen. Not going to clear this one out. You got to feel the pain of that headache.
How's that going?
It's going great. No, headache's gone. That was weeks ago, months ago, whenever the heck that was. But I truly feel like I can't, you know, there's certain things that I used to be able to do maybe when I was less evolved that I just can't do anymore. And that's probably a good thing.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't be sitting here, that's for sure.
If you were still pounding 15 beers a day.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Right.
Thanks to my ex, I appreciate that.
What? She stopped you drinking?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she stopped drinking?
No, she kept drinking. I stopped.
So. Oh, got it. Okay. Well, for anyone out there that's listening, when you start to evolve spiritually, if the person that's lying next to you is not going to be with you on that path, I mean, they don't have to be exactly with you, but if they're not going to celebrate where you are in your journey, that's very telling. And that needs to be... That is not going to go away. I remember I was at a Carolyn Mace workshop, and this woman was like, she raised her hand and she said, I'm just feeling the pain of the world, and I am such a trouble functioning, and I know that I'm an empath to the global angst, and da 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 da. And she just looked at this lady and goes, and who's lying next to you in bed? And she was like, she said, because he's not celebrating your journey on spirituality, and he's negative, I can tell, da da da. And she said, look, you got to look who's lying next to you before you can go global and worry about the problems in North Korea and think that that's what you're picking up on. What's in your immediate surroundings will affect your ability to go higher. Would you agree?
Yes.
Whether your friends you keep, the spouse you keep, the pet you keep.
The food you eat.
The food you eat. Yeah. All of that has a direct correlation
right
to this whole thing. And it sounds a little preachy, like, oh, it's not like you have to be a teetotaler and never, you know, touch chocolate or never have a sip of wine or a Manhattan or whatever. But like you say, too much of anything is not a good thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to be at the Soderworld Wellness Center on Friday, May 4th. We're going to talk about your journey. I'm going to explain kind of to the audience. And then you said you're going to kind of help the room with a healing. What exactly does that mean?
Well, there's a couple things I've been thinking about. It's either doing some energy, mm-hmm. pushing out some energy, or just do a big forgiveness.
A big forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a big one.
Yeah.
So by raising the vibration of that room and that conversation and what we do and what you do energetically, you're going to pour a big bucket of forgiveness or love or whatever it's going to be healing onto that room.
Yes.
Then are you going to need a big nap after?
More than likely. No, I'm going to need a beer.
No, <You're not. laughs> All right, I'll drive, okay? You can just pass out shotgun.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about tuning forks. This is interesting because you do these sessions also where you tune the chakras with the tuning forks. How does that work, and how did you learn about that?
Joseph Crane. I mm-hmm. learned from him and took a class with him, and it was rather interesting. I really liked it because I could feel a big shift when we were using the tuning forks.
So what is the thought? The thought is that each of our chakras has a certain vibration. And if it's out of whack, you hold a stone or pendulum over the chakras. If they go counterclockwise, it's bad. If they go clockwise, it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And so mine went left and right. What the hell?
I was just sleeping.
Okay, cool. So how do you know which fork for which chakra?
They're colored.
Okay.
At the tip. So each one represents what chakra that you would use for it. And then you would actually ask if there's other issues in the person's body, if there's maybe some problems with the feet,
mm-hmm.
you would use maybe a orange or a red one mm-hmm. for circulation and that.
So, well, I felt it. I mean, I could feel literally, even when you weren't touching me physically with the fork, you were holding the fork over the chakra and I could feel the, like the humming, the vibration.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
My son could feel it too when he was saying that. And then he slept for like 6 hours.
Yeah, I did that with my brother and he was out for like 14 hours.
Is it because the body's just adjusting to the energetic shift?
Yeah, he's not used to that type of energy. So he mm-hmm. he was out of it. He needed it anyways.
Well, let's talk about that. People not being used to it, but then kind of dabbling into this work. And then they realize sometimes they run in the other direction or they go running to the light because they want more and they want more and they want more. I think that's really important to realize that some people need to start slow and then some people want to just jump in with both feet. If you have a reaction to something like this where you sleep for hours at a time or you're repelled and don't want to go there, maybe it's because you're not ready to do the healing yet, isn't it? Isn't that the way it is?
Well, I mean, when I first received Joe Ray, I mean, it was about 3 in the morning or 3:30, something like that. I seen this white light in my body just revolving, just from my toes up to my head, and kept doing it for like, I don't know, 40 minutes or something like that.
Right.
And then that was like, you know, 7:30 in the morning, I called this lady up and I just said,
what'd you do to me?
Yeah, exactly. And I told her what was going on. She goes, wow, that's really interesting. I haven't heard anybody go through that experience yet. So she goes, everyone has different experiences when they receive that light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And so for some people, they like Reiki. Some people don't. Some people like Joe Ray. Some people don't. Some people like massage. Some people like acupuncture. Some people like quantum pathic healing. You know, whatever works for you, do what you got to do, but try different things.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, just do it.
Just do something.
Yeah, really. You're helping yourself. You got to help yourself.
So when I was interviewing Gigi Belser, I asked her, what's the one thing that people can do like right now if they can't go, you know, off to a yoga retreat? What can they do before dinner? And she said, put a flower in everyone's heart, just like picturing a rose in every single person you walk past's heart. What would you suggest to people as they're driving? What can they do before dinner to just sort of help them raise their tune up just a little bit?
I drive by and just bless them, send light to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
anybody, a stranger or a loved one?
I'll see some, you know, I kind of wave over here, seen some bums, you know, and I'm just kind of sending some juice out to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just got to wonder sometimes why they ended up there, but, you know, it's part of their journey, too. They got to figure it out.
That's right. I like that. Send them some juice.
Yeah.
Ken says, send them some juice.
Juice them up.
There's the next t-shirt. First time listeners, Ken comes over. He's going to do tuning forks on some ladies. They're like, what is happening? You know, and he walks in a lightning bolt t-shirt. Love it. I see some clothing marketing ideas. Just what you need, right, Ken?
Yeah.
All right. If you don't have a website, you don't have, you know, you don't have any of that stuff. So if people want to get a hold of you, come to Solder World May 4th in the Chicagoland area. You can email Ken. Go to my website, jenweigel.com. And there's an info, you know, contact, and just info@jenweigel.com if you want to learn more. Hopefully we'll get you some organized something or other, whether it's a Facebook page or just a date book, buddy. You got we'll get you there, okay? I mean, I kind of like that you're not married to technology, but at the same token, if you want to stay in this lane, we're going to figure out a plan. You got it?
Yeah, I got one of my pals here chuckling over there, too.
Yeah. Right? Hold you to it.
Yeah.
Gonna get you a Google Doc. Don't be scared.
Well, thanks.
Okay. Ken Wagner, thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for being on the show. I'm Jennifer Weigel, and we hope that all of you listening, if you like this podcast, please share it. Click and share. Send the flowers to the heart. Send some juice to the guy next to you. And stay spiritual, damn it. We'll talk to you next time.